Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents.
Okay.
One thing to be taught what the Bible says is another thing to read it. So I challenge you.
Okay.
Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome to City on a Hill Radio Show. Thank you for joining us this wonderful January day, and Happy New Year to you. I'm Barbara Moore. I'm going to be joined by Joe Godfrey with ALCAP very shortly. I want to begin today with a quote referring to liberty, freedom, and then history as well. I appreciate that introduction by David Barton so very much. God is into history, and we'd better be too if we are his people. Well, back in 1774, one of the resolutions in Pennsylvania, in that colony, the province of Pennsylvania, 1774, prior to our Declaration of Independence, prior to Pennsylvania becoming a state and prior to us becoming the United States. This was one of the resolutions, and it's about liberty and what we're to do with it. It says, honor, justice, and humanity call upon us to hold and to transmit to our posterity that liberty which we received from our ancestors. It's not our duty to leave wealth to our children, but it is our duty to leave liberty to them. Thomas Jefferson was a prolific writer, and he wrote a lot about education. He was highly educated himself. He spoke many different languages. He read books in their original languages, and he always had at least three going at one time. In fact, he invented a system, a Lazy Susan type device for books, so that he could just with a turn go on to his other books. But quite a scholar, and so he was very interested in education and wrote extensively about it, and of course wrote the curriculum for the University of Virginia, as well as designing the buildings and so forth. Thomas Jefferson truly was a Renaissance man. But he said this. He said, the reading in the first stage of education, where the great mass of people will receive their whole education, is proposed to be chiefly historical. History by apprising them of the past will enable them to judge of the future. It will avail them of the experience of other times and other nations. It will qualify them as judges of the actions and designs of men. It will enable them to know ambition under every disguise it may assume, and knowing it, to defeat its views. The words of Thomas Jefferson, who knew what he was talking about. The Founding Fathers transmitted so much wisdom to us in their writings that we would do really well to go back and read as much as we can of their writings and learn from them. Well, I want to welcome Joe Godfrey. Hi, Joe.
Hello. How are you?
Well, I am greatly blessed and highly favored and just absolutely delighted that you're going to be on the show today.
Well, I'm honored to be here, to be a part of what you're doing today.
Well, you know, Joe, I wanted to ask you, how long have you have been in the trenches for a long time, working with youth, I believe in the schools as well as in other places. Let's begin by, if you would, please tell us, our audience, and you've been on with us before, but we always have new listeners. So if you would tell our listeners a little bit of your background and what you've been doing, and then after that we'll go to prayer, okay?
All right, very good. Well, I pastored for 26 and a half years in Alabama after graduating from seminary. Pastor, in fact, in your area, in the Wiregrass area, at Calvary Baptist Church in Abbeville, for almost 4 years. That was right out of seminary back in the early 80s. And then I pastored Taylor Road Baptist Church in Montgomery for 19 years. In fact, helped start that church. And then in 2003, went to pastor First Baptist Pleasant Grove in the Birmingham metro area, and was there for almost 4 years before going to work with an organization called ALCAP, or Alabama Citizens Action Program, in 2007. And in 2010, that organization split into two separate entities. ALCAP is a 501c4 organization, which means we're nonprofit, but we're not tax-deductible. But 99% of our support comes from churches that don't need tax deductions. We're an interdenominational ministry that's supported by churches throughout the state of Alabama. And we have two responsibilities. One, we kind of serve as missionaries to the Alabama State Legislature. We speak out on behalf of the churches concerning moral issues, primarily issues related to addictive behaviors like alcohol, tobacco, other drugs, gambling, those kinds of things, but also pro-life issues and pro-family issues, pro-moral issues in general. And then we also consult with counties and municipalities that are fighting wet, dry elections or alcohol expansion or gambling expansion in some capacity. And then we have a school program, which is a 501c3 organization, and it's supported by the budget of ALCAP. We support it with our budget, ALCAP budget, but also through some private donations and some grants and so forth that we've received along the way. And that's our school program. We for 30 plus years have sent volunteers into public and private schools teaching drug and alcohol abstinence. We have a program on bullying and issues like that, but we've turned some of our programs into kits, and we're working on other kits in the future. But those kits are available to local school officials to use. They're all evidence-based materials, so they're acceptable in public schools. But we also have Bible studies, at least one Bible study. We're working on other Bible studies to go with other kits, but we have one that already accompanies the bullying, anti-bullying program. And it's for use in churches, so you can have a partnership between local churches and the local schools in the community to fight these issues or to help young people deal with these issues. And so that tells you a little bit about our program, our ministry, and so forth.
Wow. It's quite extensive, isn't it, Joe?
Yes, yes. It's and it's an important ministry, particularly related to the school situation, because there used to be federal dollars that were put into drug and alcohol education programs in schools. I think a lot of people are probably familiar with DARE, the DARE program. But the federal funding for that has been withdrawn. They're no longer funding those kinds of programs. And so what we provide is very essential and very important right now.
Well, what you provide then would be the only thing that is provided.
Exactly, exactly. In fact, I have a report from SAMHSA, which is the shortened version of the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, which is a federal agency. They found that from 2002 to 2011, the percentage of teenagers receiving substance abuse prevention messages from the media and all fell from about 83.2% in 2002 to 75.1% in 2011. And as a result of that drop in emphasis, they're beginning to see a rise in drug and alcohol use among students. So schools need to be aware of that and need to be doing everything they can to provide this, as well as churches. Sometimes churches think, oh, we don't want to talk about drug and alcohol. That's not our problem. That's not our issue. And yet the same kids that are going to your church are going to your schools. And they're dealing with the drugs and alcohol at school just like they are at church. And bullying is associated with addictive behaviors as well. An Ohio State University study showed that bullies are more inclined to smoke, drink, and do harder drugs than non-bullies. And so bullying is a very important aspect of these addictive behaviors.
Hmm. Well, that's common sense, isn't it?
Yep.
No, really. Well, Joe, golly, we've got a lot to talk about, but what we like to do at City on a Hill Radio Show is to honor the Lord in everything, and so we like to start and close our radio shows with prayer. Would you like to begin with prayer today? Would you like to pray for us?
That would be great.
Thank you.
All right, that'll be great. Father, we do thank you for the privilege of prayer, that you invite us into your presence to share our needs and our desires and our heart with you. And we know that through your word and through the work of your spirit in our lives, you share your heart and your thoughts and your perspective on life with us. So we pray, Father, that we will be open to what you want to share with us, that we will be in fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we will continue to grow and learn all we can about our culture as well as what your word says as we try to be salt and light in our culture and in our society. And we give you all the praise and the glory, and we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Joe. I wanted to ask you about something that may not be related to this, but it's a change that I've seen in our culture. I think that young people, I don't have any statistics, but with the knockout game that has been the deadly knockout game that has been perpetrated in recent time, and with many other things, it seems like there is so much destructive behavior even at younger ages now. And one of the things that I have seen that is so disturbing to me, and I'm going to address it when I just get a minute to do so, and that is the commercial, the commercials that show adults ramming their fists through a wall, things being dropped on cars and destroying them, and cars being squeezed from the front and the back in commercials. And I just have been seeing, and I don't really watch TV very much at all. But any time I have, I've just witnessed these destructive commercials. And I know that everything that a child, particularly in their impressionable developing stages, everything they take in makes an impression on them. And I'm just appalled by the commercials that are influencing, that I think are influencing children. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. But I think what you're seeing in the commercials and the movies and the music and books and everything else is a breakdown of moral standards. We have systematically, over the last several years, several decades, as David Barton has pointed out on many occasions, we have systematically been removing God from our culture. And so as a result, we are seeing an increase in violence, whether depicted or in reality. We are seeing an increase in sexual immorality. We are seeing an increase in foul language. We're seeing an increase in all these different things that you've just touched on and described. But it should not surprise us. When you take God out of the culture and you take God's standards out of the culture and people are no longer governed in their hearts by the Word of God and by the influence of godly men and women who are building and basing their lives on God's Word, then we shouldn't be surprised that these things are changing in our culture. We no longer have a standard by which we base our lives and follow, and therefore whatever anybody feels like they want to do, and it goes back to the days of the judges in ancient Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's the culture that we're living in today. So it shouldn't surprise us. When you remove God's word from the culture, from the society, then you get the results of that.
You know, you're absolutely right. And all of these are consequences of that. And
yes.
Freedom, the very idea of freedom and the definition of freedom is quite different today than it was years ago with the Founding Fathers. Their intention was to have political freedom where one need not be afraid to speak truth report abuse of power by the government. That's what the freedom was for, and the freedom to choose one's way of earning a living, a profession, occupation, where to live, and, you know, those basic freedoms. But it wasn't – the Founding Fathers certainly did not consider freedom as something to just as a license to sin. That was – nothing could have been further from their minds, hearts, and it's evident in their writings as well. And I was thinking, you know, it hasn't been too long ago since it was – you know, our laws have until recent years been based upon God's law to be in conformity with it, and which is why in – our United States Capitol building in the House of Representatives, you have a lot of profile figures of lawgivers, judges, over the years, and you only have one full-faced figure in the chamber of the House, and that is the face of Moses, and he is directly looking directly at the Speaker of the House, Speaker's podium, and as if to remind our lawmakers that any laws made must be made in conformity and in harmony with the law of God, and that's how it's been. And I was thinking, you know, even not too long ago, it was illegal to even send anything in the mail about a lottery. That was against the law.
Yeah.
You know, and it was in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is not that long ago. And you know, we had laws based upon moral standards.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but we seem to have lost the knowledge of all of that. And we've certainly lost the knowledge from the founding fathers. And so when you enter into a discussion with someone not very old, well, even if they're old, you know, that knowledge has been lost. And it's very challenging to discuss these things when there's no knowledge of the Word of God and there's no knowledge of the founding fathers' writings, you know, is very challenging.
Right.
There's a lot of disbelief on their part.
Right. Well, there was a day, as you're pointing out, when God's word was taught in public places, in public schools, and other places, as well as in the church. But today we are seeing God's word removed from all the public places. And we're seeing many of the churches, please don't misunderstand, I'm not saying all churches are like that. There's some great churches that are teaching the word faithfully and strongly, but there are a lot of churches that are focused on entertaining a crowd and doing other things. I'm not arguing and opposing doing things that are exciting and fun and so forth and inviting people to church to be blessed. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't do that, but we must not neglect the teaching of God's word in the process. And there are some churches that are focused so much on the creativity and the entertainment aspects of ministry that they forget that they are called to speak the truth. I just finished reading a book entitled Worshiping the State, How Liberalism Became Our State Religion by Benjamin Weicker. And he makes a statement in that book before he talks about that gives that statement, he quotes G.K. Chesterton. And let me see if I can find that quote again. G.K. Chesterton, he said, quote, "It is only by believing in God that we can ever criticize the government. Once abolish God and the government becomes the God. That fact is written all across human history. The truth is that irreligion is the opium of the people. Wherever the people do not believe in something beyond the world, they will worship the world, but above all, they will worship the strongest thing in the world," which, of course, is typically the government. But on in that book, Weicker makes a statement that I think is something that we as Christians need to know and understand, given the fact that we are beginning to lose our freedom of religious expression. He says in that in the book, "The primary concern of Christians in the Roman Empire was not religious liberty, but religious truth. There is nothing so clear from the New Testament and the plethora of Christian writings in the first three centuries as that Christians believed that the truth had been revealed to them, and it was their responsibility to take that truth and make it boldly known to all the nations. They did not suffer the most horrible martyrdoms so that Isis, Bacchus, or Jupiter could be safely adored by their respective cults. They died for Christ, the way, the truth, and the life." And I think as we are facing a repression of our religious freedom, we're going to have to start standing up and proclaiming the truth with the recognition that we may go to prison someday for preaching and teaching the things that we used to feel comfortable preaching and teaching, and that nobody was going to shoot us or arrest us or whatever. But today we're quickly coming to a point where pastors and churches are going to have to decide who is the Lord of their lives, the government or the Word of God and God himself, Jesus Christ.
Wow. Wow. Joe, you have shared a lot of truth there. Worshiping the State by Benjamin Weicker. I tell you what,
right.
You whetted my appetite. I have got to get that book and read it just from the quotes that you shared. And, of course, that G.K. Chesterton quote, my goodness, that was so, the way he explained it, made it so understandable.
Yeah. Yep.
It was so clear. The way he put it was so clear. I love it. And I do love Chesterton. What a mind and what a heart, you know, what what a man, what a writer. So,
yeah, but, you know, the whole thing we're dealing with in our culture is that we're seeing the next generation. Many of us, I'm 59 years old, and many of us were raised, I can remember in the early years of my schooling, we would have Bible reading in schools. I remember I was started first grade in 1960, and, of course, it was a couple of years later that the Supreme Court ruled you can't do Bible reading and you can't have prayer led by the teacher anyway in schools, and we began to see those things drop by the wayside. But I do remember that, and I lived in a culture where the vast majority of people in my community, at least in my circle of friends, went to church. But we're seeing things shift, and we've got to remember that the generation that's coming along now doesn't have any remembrance of biblical or training or anything, they don't see the need for it. They don't even recognize that there is a need for spiritual life, and so
this is normal.
It's normal. Exactly. If they're accepting what we used to consider abnormal behavior, they're accepting as normal behavior, and what we used to consider normal behavior, they're accepting as abnormal. And we're quickly losing the cultural battles that we're supposed to be fighting. And again, it goes back to the churches. I'm concerned that churches have remained silent. Many churches, I don't mean to make a blanket statement, certainly there are churches that are fighting the good fight and standing strong. But there are so many churches that are not today, and they're just...
We haven't been on the front lines. We really haven't. You know, if we've been in the battle at all, it hasn't been out front and center and leading the way. But now, I got a couple of things. The Southern Baptist Convention in Alabama, I got to tell you... I am just so grateful, and I'm not Baptist, but I am a Christian, and I am so grateful that they are leading the way against the Common Core education. And having said that, let me tell you, though, what we're doing here in Dothan, and it happened, well, I'll just share my little story here, and it's about addressing the culture and taking God's truth, bringing God's truth to children in public school. I taught for quite a few years at Northside Methodist Academy. In fact, we had an LCAP program while I was there. But anyway, my grandchildren who live in Dothan, three that live in Dothan, went to Northside Methodist where I taught, and it was wonderful. I retired, and last year, my two grandsons transferred to a public school, Montana Magnet School, which is a really, really great school. But the boys and the parents and I missed terribly the biblical foundation and the acknowledgement of God and we had a friend in Coleman, Alabama, a friend of my daughter's, who told us about a program that she was involved in called Kids for Christ Club, and they do it in the public school at West Elementary School there in Coleman. So last May, my daughter and I traveled to Coleman, and we stayed in a hotel and so that we could get up and be at school early because the program began at 7:15. Well, we videoed the program. We enjoyed the program. There was Bible reading. There was a pastor there who had the children act out a story in the Bible. The scheduled speaker had to cancel at the last minute. And so this was just very spontaneous and impromptu, the program was. But they served donuts, and there was prayer, and there was singing, and it was just wonderful. So my daughter and I came back to Dothan and met with the principal at Montana Magnet, and she loved the idea, but she said we'll have to get it approved by the superintendent. So the meeting was set up, and he also loved the idea, but he said we would not be allowed to meet in the school building. So my daughter and son-in-law and I were like, okay, are we going to put up a tent on the grounds? What are we going to do? Because we really felt strongly that the Lord was leading us in this direction. Well, the principal at Montana contacted us and said, there is a little church across the street, Greater Deliverance Church, and would you like the contact number for the people there and see if possibly we could meet there? And we met with them, and they welcomed us with open arms, and so we began weekly meetings, Kids for Christ meetings here in Dothan, every Tuesday morning, 7:15 to 7:45, and we bring in community speakers, mayor, fire chief, police chief, pediatricians, veterinarians, business owners, youth pastors, just all sorts of different people have come to speak to the children. They give a positive message. They can share their testimony of how they came to the Lord or what the Lord's doing in their lives, how they apply the Word of God to their work, and what a difference He has made in their... Anyway, it's positive. And one of the things we do is... we have a theme song, and it's the Ten Commandments song because you talk about moral standards. Well, most children these days do not know the Ten Commandments of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable in God's sight. And so there is the cutest little song that we sing with hand motions, of course, and we're dealing with kindergarten through fifth grade. That's what the school has. And so Joe, we started with the first day, we had about 40 kids, and we're up to in the 80s now. And
wow.
Not only are the children coming, but the parents are coming, too. We will have anywhere between a dozen and 20 parents that come to these meetings also. We serve them a little breakfast, and it is, we have Bible reading, prayer, a closing blessing, praying for the teachers and the students throughout the school and the parents. And it is so incredible. I just can't tell you how wonderful it is. And we've heard parents say they just love it on Tuesdays because their kids come home singing the Ten Commandments song after being in school all day. So they know it's been, you know, playing in their minds and hearts. And but this is the thing, Joe. This thing can be duplicated.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's true. That's right. Our school programs with American Character Builders are a good tool to use as well. What I've tried to get churches to see is the potential for taking our materials. They can order our kits and the whatever number of student booklets they need that go with the kids, they can go into a call up the principal of a local school and say, I want to come teach an anti-bully program or a alcohol or a tobacco program. We have one on saying no to meth, marijuana, and cocaine. I want to come teach this program one day. And they go in, they teach it all day. They stay in one classroom, and as the classes rotate through, they teach the material. And again, as I mentioned earlier, it's all evidence-based material, so there's no problems, there's no biblical references or anything like that that would cause problems for the school officials. But then what you can do is invite the students and the parents to your church on the Sunday afternoon following that presentation at school, and you can introduce the biblical material that we have available. Or your own material, whatever, however you want to do it. They can do teach the parents the same material the kids learned in school while the kids are going through the Bible study material. Then bring them together, share a message based on God's word. They can then explain that the only real way to deal with bullying or alcohol or drugs or any of these issues is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They can present the gospel, the plan of salvation, and then they can give an invitation. And what they've done is used these materials to get into the public school, to impact the lives of students and their parents, to offer at another location a follow-up program if the parents and the students are interested in coming, where they can present a biblical foundation for the material that was taught at the school, and then use the material to actually introduce Jesus Christ to those families. And it can make a huge difference in the community and in the local school as well as in that local church. So what you're doing is great, and what you just described is wonderful, and what we offer, I think, is another great opportunity. But it's all about being salt and light. It's all about making a difference in our culture.
That's right. That's right. It is. And I want to do that anti-bullying program at Montana. They would welcome that. They really would welcome that.
Okay.
And also, I know the church that would want to invite the parents, Calvary Baptist Church, who is, by the way, hosting the David Barton Conference that we're having January 18th. Mm-hmm. But they, I just love them. I have quite a few friends there, but I get to hear about all the great things that they're doing. Not only are they having these phenomenal Wednesday night Bible teachings by Pastor Paul, but they are reaching out to schools, children. There's a middle school that here in Dothan, a public middle school, that they are providing mentors to go into that school and really work one-on-one with the youth. They are providing after-school activities, snack, and athletics in their facility. They're reaching out to the minorities. In many different ways, they are adopting schools, and they adopted Montana. So I think that they would love to help with this too.
That'd be great. And yeah, I tell you what, if you could get a group of local pastors or youth and or youth ministers, youth pastors, and others, key leaders, school officials, and so forth together, I'll be happy to come down, show the material, explain how it's used, take them through one of the sessions or whatever so they can get a feel for what it's like. But they can also go, school officials and church leaders can go to our website, AmericanCharacterBuilders.org, and they can see a little video clip where we actually open up one of our kits and show you what's in it and explain some of it to you. But I'll be glad to come meet with anybody if the Wiregrass area wants to put something together. That would be a great opportunity.
Well, I think I just believe we will. And I know my daughter and son-in-law will want to be involved in this, and then the people at Calvary. We also, one of the things that's being done, and I don't know if this is being done anywhere else, but anyway, I'll just mention it, is that at Montana Magnet, we have a grandparents meeting once a week same time at Wednesday morning, and we help the teachers. They assemble anything they want help with, whether it's cutting, tracing, putting together, tearing out pages, anything, you know, hands-on that will save them some time. They bring it to the lunchroom, and that's what we
do.
That's
great.
Wednesday morning. And then we stay and have lunch with our grandchildren, you know.
That's a great ministry. That's great.
It is. It really is. But I was just thinking, I know several of them would love to be involved in this anti-bullying program also.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we have people that I know will just really embrace this and get on it. The only thing I'm going to have to wait on is to finish up what we're doing to defeat Common Core. We're doing a call to action during this legislative session. And that's kind of consuming everything except Kids for Christ Club.
Yep.
And, you know, but after that, I want to look into these anti-bullying kits. Doing it at Montana Magnet School, and I believe that we'll get the most help, too, from Calvary Baptist Church.
Okay. Very good.
Wow. Yeah, very good. I am so excited. I can't tell you. Mm-mm. Well, Well, now, where do we want to go from here? Do you travel the entire state of Alabama, Joe, or do you have people that will go into every area?
Well, we have some volunteers scattered around the state, but I do some traveling as well. But if you're wanting to do something there in the Wiregrass area, like we've just been discussing, I would be excited to come down. My son-in-law and daughter live in Panama City, Florida. So my son-in-law is from the Dothan area. So I'd like to tell people I'm related to the Wiregrass folks, and I have a special place in my heart. So I love that area. And like I said, I pastored in Abbeville right out of seminary, so I'm familiar with the area down there. And it's always fun for me to come down to the Wiregrass area. So I would love that opportunity, and that would be great.
Okay, well, we will plan on that when we get when we get ready for the for this program. We will definitely have you come down. Then you can go on to the beach and visit.
There you go. We rarely get to the beach, though. We usually stop in Panama City and stay with our kids, and that's as far as we get. But occasionally, in the warm weather, we'll get out on the beach, but not much.
Well, Joe, I wanted to ask you something else. Are you seeing any changes in our culture as a consequence of digital devices?
Oh, definitely. The bully issue is a prime example of that that we've already been touching on. The fact is that when I was growing up, when you were growing up, you might have a bully or be bullied at school or whatever, but you could go home and you get away from it. But today, students will be bullied at school, then they'll go home, and because of social media and everything else, they can't get away from the bullying. It's constant. And so it's important, if students are having to deal with bullying, that they not get involved in social media. They need to find a way to turn it off when they're at home or whatever, so that they're not staying in that constant barrage of comments and things that are being said to them that are hurting and cutting, and yet, you know, it's made a huge difference. It's taken bullying to a new level, actually. That it used to not have to deal with it. Bullies were something that were you know, okay, you got a bully, you deal with it, you have the resources at school and at home and so forth to fight it off, but with the electronic devices and so forth and students carrying around smartphones and iPads and or tablets and the computers and everything else, it's just constant. And so they have a hard time getting away from it. And that's why I think bullying is one of the leading causes for suicide. And in fact, bullying is one of the leading causes for school shootings. Either way, what's happening is the victims are responding to the hurt and the pain that they're feeling from the bullying by acts of violence, which, again, you take God's word out of the mix and people don't know anything else. And violence is a natural human tendency that results from hurt and pain and anger that comes out of that. And so what happens is the violence, if they turn it on themselves, it's suicide. If they turn it on others, it'll be a school shooting. And it's been shown since the Columbine school shootings in 1996 that over 90% of the school shootings in America have been victims retaliating against bullies. And then, of course, one of the leading causes, as I mentioned a moment ago, for suicide is victims that feel like there's no way out, that their lives are destroyed. Again, a lot of it because it's that constant barrage through the digital media, and so they'll end up taking their own lives thinking, I've got to relieve the hurt and the pain, and they take that avenue, not realizing many times that that's it. I mean, there's no turning back. Once you commit suicide, it's over. I can't get into the mind and heart of a student, but I can only imagine the pain and the hurt they must be feeling to lead them to that. It's got to be overwhelming to them.
It does. It really does. Well, you know, I was thinking back. I'm 66 years old, and I remember that there were some bullies, but really very few. They were definitely in the minority and an occasional thing. It wasn't something seen on a regular basis. And, you know, it seems like, you know, we have a lot of fatherless homes, and I know that fatherless homes, there is a higher incidence of drug abuse and drug and alcohol abuse and so forth and violence.
Yes.
And you know, we're seeing more and more of that. So we as God's people need to address that as well. And Joe, I gotta tell you, I think one of the ways that here in Alabama we need desperately to address this is to return to divorce laws that require cause, not just allow this, you know, divorce for any reason or no reason. What is that called? I've forgotten.
If you hadn't asked me, I could have told you.
No fault divorce. I think that has been very detrimental to families, and I think that we need to address that in our legislature and to our governor as a pro-family type measure. I mean, that's just one thing. But
you shared is exactly right. It's the breakdown of the home, and it started, I think, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it started with the no-fault divorce, and it has progressed now to the point where people are wanting to redefine what marriage is. And then you get into the area of same-sex marriage. You get into the area of polygamy, which is becoming an issue out in Utah. Particularly with the Mormon church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, many of the there's a sect of that is teaching that polygamy is a biblical and acceptable way of having relationships and so forth. And so what you're seeing is exactly what you described as a breakdown of the home, and it started, I think, the first step was the no-fault divorce. And when that became acceptable, then everything else began to, all the dominoes began to fall on that. But again, even that goes back to we have no moral, biblical standards on which we're basing our society, our culture, our lives, our families, and the removal of God's word has resulted in this incremental breakdown of the home to the point that today we don't even know what a marriage and a family really is. So,
yeah, that's absolutely true. But yeah, I think as God's people, we have to really look for ways that any opening that we can have, we need to be actively seeking real solutions, and we know, of course, that salvation in Jesus Christ, that makes all the difference. But but what we can lure people in His direction, through various means, and we can address peripheral. We can address other things, while seeking to draw them to Christ.
Exactly. And I think that's an important point. I appreciate you sharing that. I heard somebody say recently that we're trying to reap a harvest in a world where we've failed to sow the seeds. And what we've got to be doing as Christians is sowing the seeds of God's word. We need to be writing about it. We need to be telling about it. We need to be sharing it. The gospel message, certainly, that's the focus of God's word. It all revolves around Jesus Christ and the fact that none of us can measure up to God's standards. We need a rescuer. We need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that our only hope. Is He is that Savior that we need. God in the flesh, who died on the cross for our sins and 3 days later rose again from the dead, is alive today, and it's by putting our trust in Him that we can find, we can have not only eternal life, but abundant life as well. But then as we are discipled, as we spend time in God's Word, but sowing the seeds of God's Word, showing the world that there's a better way to live, that there is a better way to think, there's a better perspective on life. And it comes as we present truths from God's Word throughout our day, throughout our lives, in our culture, in our society, in the marketplace, in the classroom, as well as in the churches, in the government halls of government, local government, as well as state and national government. We need to be sowing the seeds of God's Word. So, because God's Word, the truth of God's Word will speak to hearts. It challenges people's thinking. And it drives people, the Word of God should drive people to Jesus, who is the Word of God in flesh. So, again, that was a great statement. I wish I'd made it up, but I didn't. But we are trying to reap a harvest in a world where we fail to sow the seeds.
Where we have failed to sow the seeds. I didn't get the last part. I have been writing furiously since we first began the radio show, because you've shared so much that I didn't want to lose. Sow the seeds. I'm getting the last part of it down.
Let me say it again. Let me say it again so that you got it. It's we're trying to reap a harvest in a world where we failed to sow the seeds. Bottom line is, churches, I know among Baptists at least, people are concerned that we're seeing a drop in baptisms, people coming to know Christ, and there's great concern about that. And yet, again, we're not getting outside the walls of our church. And again, I don't mean to make a blanket statement, but generically speaking, I'm afraid that too many churches and too many Christians are not getting outside the walls of their church and sharing God's word with friends and family and neighbors and other people in the community. And as a result, we're not sowing any seeds. So we wonder, well, why aren't we seeing anybody won to the Lord? Well, we're not sowing the seeds. You got to sow the seeds before you're going to see a harvest.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've allowed the culture to deteriorate so much. It's made it more difficult to even sow seeds, you know.
But I hear you saying
that we are to come alongside. It kind of reminds me of, you know, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside. He does come to live within us when we're in Christ. But, you know, it's like alongside us. But we're to do that. We're to be that wherever we are, whether at work or at ball games or, you know, wherever we are, we're to come alongside others and help in whatever we can, whatever gifts we have to share with others, and to come alongside them and to be that light, to be that salt, and make a difference and sow those seeds into the lives that we come alongside, you know?
That's right. That's right.
And it's a privilege.
Yes, it is. It is. It's a privilege to be a part of what God is doing in the world. And it shouldn't be a burden to us. It should be something that is the very heartbeat of our lives as Christians. It's something we should long to do and desire to do because we are so blessed and God has given us this eternal life through his son Jesus. We ought to be falling over ourselves trying to get that good news out to everybody else. And it ought to be a privilege and a joy and a blessing in our lives to share God's word and especially to share Jesus Christ.
That's right. You know, sometimes I think it's like a disconnect because I really do see a lot of people and talk to a lot of people who are very excited about their churches, you know, and what's happening at their church at this time or another time, or, you know, they're very, very excited about the church. But there seems to be a disconnect then with culture and the lifestyle, beyond Sunday and Wednesday, although it seems like Wednesday night's kind of disappearing as well as Sunday night. But anyway... Well, I tell you what, God is good, and I am so grateful to have had this hour with you, Joe, and to listen to you.
Well, I've enjoyed it, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, good, and we hope you'll come back real soon, and I'm going to check out the website. I want to see the AmericanCharacterBuilders.org, where that kit is taken apart and explained. I'm going to be going there. And do you have any other website that you want to
share?
Well,
yes, our ALCAP has a website. That, it's ALCAP.com, ALCAP.com. And there's a wealth of information there that we've got a lot of resource material, links to other websites. If pastors or Sunday school teachers are teaching a lesson or preaching a message on alcohol or gambling or drugs or whatever, there's all kinds of resource material there, statistical data and information, as well as links. There are articles. We have a current issues page where we have try to post articles from time to time that are coming across our desk. And we need to I want to encourage people to take advantage of that. I had people in Texas and Kentucky last year that contacted me and thanked me for that website. They said, we've been using material from that website in dealing with alcohol expansion or whatever here in our own communities, and these were in other two other states, And yet most of the material is geared toward Alabama and in our specific situation. There are some national statistics there, but a lot of the statistics, a lot of the information relates directly to Alabama. So I challenge and encourage the people in Alabama to take advantage of the resources at alcap.com. So it's AmericanCharacterBuilders.org for our school programs and alcap.com for information related to ALCAP. And at our ALCAP website, you can sign up to receive email alerts. When I'm at the state legislature, I will try to send out if there's a bill coming up or an issue that the state legislators are dealing with that relates to our area of focus. I will try to send out an email alert, and if you've signed up, you'll get that email, and it'll encourage you to contact your legislator about such and such House bill or such and such Senate bill, and how we want them to address that. I'm going to try something this year. You were talking about digital media, the social media age in which we live. I'm going to try to do some tweets this year through Twitter, too. I've got a Twitter account. So on our ALCAP.com website, you can actually sign up to receive tweets. And if you'll open your notification, allow the notification to communicate with you when I send out a tweet, I promise I've signed up for some people's Twitter comments, and they flood my inbox, and I had to turn them off because it was constantly ringing my phone. I will try to only send out tweets when there's something real important that needs to come out. I won't be notifying you every day and all the time. So if people will sign up to receive those tweets, then we'll try to take advantage of that and use that. That'll give us an instant way of getting the word out to as many people as we can about certain issues.
Okay, very good. And, Joe, I think I'm going to put your information with the email alerts in our information being handed out January 18th.
Oh, that'd be great.
We're giving a definite call to action, and we have to become knowledgeable about what's going on. So these email alerts will be essential, really essential.
Yeah.
So that's great. Well, Joe, I want to ask you one more thing, if you would just close us in prayer.
All right. Be honored to. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, for allowing us to have this time together via the radio and telephone. And we pray that you'll use this communication tool to speak to hearts and to challenge people to get involved, to make a difference in our culture and our community. And as Christians, you call us to be salt and light. So we pray, Father, that we will be effective, that we will make a real difference in the community in which we live, as well as in the state, the nation, and the world in which you've placed us. And may we be live out the Christ-like life, as well as speak out the truth of Jesus Christ and his word. And we pray that through it all, you will get the glory, that you will get the honor for it. And again, we thank you for this City on a Hill and their ministry in the Wiregrass area, and just pray your blessings on them as they continue to be salt and light and to sow the seeds of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Joe. God bless you. As you were praying, I was also thinking, oh, there's no better way to live. There's nothing more interesting. There's nothing more adventurous or exciting or satisfying than living with Jesus, you know.
That's right.
And he being our life. And it's just so good. So anyway, well, thanks again, and God bless you.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us at City on a Hill Radio Show. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. Bye-bye.